Hi, Women of Strength. Before we jump into today's episode, I just wanted to share something that's really close to my heart. If you're planning a VBAC or even just starting to think about one, you don't have to piece everything together on your own. You don't have to find every blog or hunt down a specific podcast episode. The VBAC Link Parent Prep Course was created by our founders, Julie and Megan, who are doulas and VBAC moms themselves. I actually took it when I was preparing for my own VBAC, long before I was a host of the podcast, just as a mom who needed clarity, confidence, and evidence-based information. So I can say, from a personal standpoint, that I know you'll love it. We also have a VBAC birth plan guidebook with a drag and drop template, and that's the exact template I used for my own VBAC birth. It made communicating with my care team so much more smooth. So if you're looking for practical, supportive VBAC prep from people who truly get it, you can find both the course and the guidebook at thevbaclink.com. All right, let's get into today's episode.
You are listening to the VBAC Link, and guess who is on the podcast today? Woo, Blair!
We have our friend Blair, and she is an influencer on all of the socials, making the cutest, funniest dances, jingles with her husband, Steven. So if you have not seen her, or if you don't know her, she just had a VBAC and is here to share her story with us today. I am your host, Paige, joined by my co-host, Lily. Hey, Lily, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm so good. I am waiting on a VBAC, Mom, as we speak, so I am just ready. I'm in the mood for a VBAC. So today is good stuff.
We had a lot of fun.
We had so much fun. I think I laughed that entire episode, and so we just can't wait for you to hear it, Women of Strength. That's so good. Paige just said this when we were talking off camera, but it's not often that you meet someone that, like, is exactly who they are online. And Blair just, like, came on with the exact same energy of who she is online and so humble in that she wrote her bio was, like, Blair is a mom of two. Like, she just, like, didn't even mention her, like, 1.7 million followers.
So we so made great. Her do that in yes. her in the episode so you can hear how awesome she is.
Yes, she's so, so awesome. So we talk about everything from what is it like to kind of drown out the noise of all of the advice that we can get. How do we deal with going past our due dates and doing all the things and labor still isn't happening and where do we go from there? And then as Blair shares, she raw dogged her VBAC. So she had an unmedicated VBAC and just all of the ways that she was surprised in her labor, which I think was really cool that she was vulnerable enough to share that. And so, yeah, it was so, so good.
It was so awesome. One little tip I did want to talk about for you guys that I thought about during her episode. She talked about going to, like, when to go to the hospital. So this is something that varies for everybody, and that's, like, the golden question. When do we go? Because you want to time it perfectly, but, like, obviously we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't know. But generally, you'll hear the 4-1-1 rule. So your contractions are 4 minutes apart, lasting for 1 minute long, and wait, what's
that's
the
been
one?
Happening for an hour.
That's been happening. Okay, what's
the other one? Paige forgot.
Clearly, it varies. Okay, anyway, but sometimes it can be 4-1-1 for like a while and you're still feeling good. That's what Blair talks about. So you've got to talk about intensity too. How is it feeling? Because your girl has also had a client where contractions were like 7-8 minutes apart, but they were intense. Like, legs were shaking, feeling nauseous, and baby came very quickly after. Like, sometimes contractions just, like, don't even get to that point. So really pay attention to your intensity too. That's something I want to.
I've also had that in my labors where my contractions, I don't have a ton of, like, early labor is what I would say in my labors. I have my VBAC, I had, like, a little bit more of early-ish labor, but my contractions get real intense out the gate, but they're, like, unpredictably far apart. So they're not like making a pattern. And so that's always been key for me is like, how do I get them to that like rhythmic, consistent, more predictable pattern, even though they're super intense and they're long, but we have to like try to get to some like predictability. So it's definitely not a perfect rule. And I also tell my clients that there is also an emotional level of going to the hospital. Like sometimes the best move that we can do is you're really defeated and frustrated. You've been laboring at home for a really long time. And maybe it is time to go to the hospital so you can settle into your space and like take a deep breath because now you don't have to worry about when you go because you're already there. So I Absolutely. Think having that nuance to hold is super important.
Yep, for sure. So hopefully that gave you some some things to think about in that arena.
Yes. Well, before we dive in, I have a review of the week that we just got in. And I'm so excited to listen because this is just like love for our sweet page. But this comes from Dro Mama on Apple Podcasts. And it says, I started listening to this podcast a little over a year after I had a traumatic C-section. I have felt a lot of dread about going through birth again and a lot of fears about getting pregnant, even though I would like to have another baby. As I have listened to other women's stories, it has given me a lot of perspective on my own experience and healing to know that I'm not alone and I can try again. I am not pregnant yet, but I am hopeful to someday have a better birth experience, whether it is another C-section or a VBAC. So many episodes have made me cry and helped me grieve. I love listening to Lily and Paige, and my favorite episode is 357, Paige's maternal assisted cesarean in South Korea. Her story is inspiring. It really is. I say this, I think, all the time to you, but there's like nobody else that I would rather do this work with. And I'm just so grateful that like you're my buddy in all of this because your stories matter and they've like continue to make waves in this world. So
I love you. Thank you so much. I love you. And I love that review so much because for women who have had an unexpected cesarean, like I want to shout it from the rooftops to listen to this podcast, but like not for why they may think initially, because it's like, it's not about having a VBAC. It's about what she said, having a better birth experience, finding solidarity, helping you grieve, helping you find women who like have been through something that you've been through and learning and like reflecting mm-hmm. on your experiences and growing. Like that's why we're here. That's what this podcast is all about. So,
and Paige and I have both lived that, right? Like we both found the VBAC link before we ever worked for the VBAC link, before we ever hosted the VBAC link. Like both of us have been exactly where you are in hearing the stories and in searching for a redemptive experience and whatever that looks like. And it's just such a great honor to like take this work forward. If you didn't know, we're not the original hosts of the podcast. So it's just continues to be a joy that we get to do this together.
So good. So we're going to take a brief break for our intro and be back for a really fun time with Blair. You don't want to miss it.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same, to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Welcome back. We are here with Blair. Oh, this is going to be a good one, you guys.
I'm so excited.
Here. Okay, here is a little bit about her, and then we will get into her amazing stories. Blair is a second-time mom based in Michigan who had a successful VBAC at the end of May. As a nurse herself, she is a huge advocate for patient-centered care, non-pharmacological pain interventions, and informed consent. She and her husband, Stephen, also create content full-time about their life as a family with two under two. Welcome, Blair!
The queen who raw-dogged a VBAC.
Yeah, the nurses were like, what? I was like, unmedicated, I guess. But raw dog's way more fun to say, right?
Yeah, always.
So stoked to be here. Yes, I raw dogged a VBAC successfully. I wanted to die during it, but we did it. We made it out. The amnesia set in. It feels so glorious now. And yeah, we do dabble on the internet sphere, you know. I guess if I have to throw out stats, you know, combined on all platforms, as some would say, we have like, I guess, 1.7 million people in our community, which seems absurd and hard for me to wrap my head around because it doesn't feel that big.
It is. You are
I guess I am the real deal to some, but to me, I'm just an ordinary girl. I'm just a mommy. I'm a nurse. I love what I do. But yeah, the internet thing just kind of happened to us in 2020. I forced my boyfriend, who's now my husband and baby father, plural now, Steven, into joining TikTok with me. And we were just frolicking and something weird happened to us. We were like arguing in the car, but with compliments. And we were hysterically laughing after. And I said, wait, why didn't we record that? He was like, oh, yeah, I guess let's reenact it. So we went home, raced home, reenacted it. The video like got 1.5 million views overnight. And we said, oh,
wow,
I guess let's see what this thing does. Like, let's see where this goes. And now here we are, I guess, almost 6 years later. And we've been making like a full living off of social media for 5 of those years, which is just insane to even say. Yeah, to use a free app and then make in lifestyle, like just living my life with the dude I love. And then everyone's gotten to live through all of these huge milestones with us. Getting engaged, getting married, moving out of LA back to Michigan, going on a honeymoon, having kids. There's been people who have been there since the beginning. And I'm like, we're basically cousins because, yeah, you've been on this ride with us through all these highs and lows, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. You need to know that one of our team members, Ashley, she's our admin on our team. She's actually local to you. So when you were, she's a doula in your area. And when you were birthing, all of us were like stalking you. And she was like, I know what hospital she's at.
Another crazy thing that happened is with my C-section, which I'll get into that during my birth story. There was this girl named Yari. She was a scrub tech in my C-section. I'm like sobbing. Okay. I'm emotional. I'm afraid. I'm like, they're going to cut me open. This baby's coming. It's my first kid. I'm bent over getting the epidural, you know, in the very uncomfortable position you have to be in to get a needle in your back. And the girl's like, you kind of look familiar. Like, are you that one couple? I said, oh shit. I was like, girl, you're about to see my loins. You're about to see inside my body in places I've never even seen. And now she's our nanny.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
We technically met Kaleo, my first child, our son, before I did. And now she takes care of him. And it's crazy. And she also worked on the floor that I birthed my VBAC, our daughter, in. And she was like, all the nurses know who you are, just to let you know. I was like, cool, no pressure.
Cool. Yeah.
As I'm like screaming bloody murder, you know, pushing a baby out. So I'm sure I was a memorable patient for them.
You made their day, no doubt.
Yes. No.
Okay.
You can be as long as you want to be. Okay. So tell us the deeds. Yes. Tell us about your first baby and your C-section. Yes. And the VBAC.
Every
VBAC.
Every VBAC starts with a C-section. Let's hear it.
Yes, I'm going to try to keep this concise as possible to the listeners, but if I get off track, these ladies are going to help me steer back onto the path, okay? So I found out I was pregnant in January 1st, 2024. I had told God, I said, I'm not having kids in an apartment. And ironically, the first night we spent in a house, a rental home, the next day I found out I was pregnant. I said, wow, he's a comical guy. So luckily I have really easy pregnancies. I've loved being pregnant in general. I feel beautiful. I feel powerful. I have tons of energy. So it's been wonderful. 20-week ultrasound, anatomy scan. I found out I have placenta previa. At the time, I was planning on doing a midwife-led birth center birth, which I was super stoked about. And those dreams came crashing down when I found out my placenta was covering my cervix. So I ended up being referred to an OB from my midwife, and she ended up being the most lovely human in the world. I'm so thankful my midwife recommended her, because you kind of hear those nightmares of finding doctors who like don't necessarily support unmedicated births or VBACs, you know. And once I knew I was going to have a C-section, we knew we wanted multiple kids. So I already was thinking like VBACs in the future. We're getting a vaginal birth. Okay. Something's coming out my vagina. Okay. And so we had a scheduled C-section at 37 and 3 with my son. It was literally textbook perfect. I came in, I pooped my brains out. Like, the pregame poops were crazy. Poor. I feel bad for the janitor who had to clean that bathroom, because baby, I was stressed. The C-section went amazing. I think being a nurse, I knew about all the things that could go wrong. And I really like did a number on my brain with all the anxiety of, oh yeah, they're going to slice me open. I'm going to be the one that gets sepsis. I'm going to be the one with the wound vac. I'm going to be the one that dies. Crazy. Everything was fine. Everything was perfect. I had a wonderful recovery, and my scar, she's stunning. Wish I could show you. But yes, we then decided we were going to have another kiddo. I said, yeah, if we start trying now, we'll get pregnant in the next 6 to 8 months. Well, I got pregnant now. First try, which is amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't know why I thought that I was infertile. Clearly, we already have had one. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I am that way. But with that one, I was kind of just biting my nails. I'm like, we just got to get to the anatomy scan. I'm not going to have any expectations until we get to the anatomy scan. Let's see. Make sure I don't have placenta previa this time. And then I can get excited about a possible VBAC. And baby, I'm in that anatomy scan watching. I'm like, there's nothing covering her. There's nothing there. I'm good. I'm getting a vaginal birth. The results weren't in yet, but I already knew. I knew enough to know that I was going to get my vaginal birth. And I had been talking to my OB about it. And she was full speed ahead. She's like, you're the perfect candidate for this. You're not high risk. Placenta previa is super random. So there's no need to put you in this category of high risk patients. You're young. You don't have any other complications. Let's do it. I said F word. Yeah. F word. Yeah. Let's do it. So I was a very impatient vaginal birth though. The thing about the C-section, you could plan. You know, I knew exactly when my son was coming to meet the world. I had everything done. And here I'm just pacing, sweating any day. Like, just come out of me. What's it going to feel like? I had no prior knowledge of what the initiation of labor was because I never got to experience even really Braxton Hicks with my first. I had like none. The first time it happened with my daughter, I said, oh no, something's not right. And then I thought for a minute, I said, oh, that's what those are. Oh my gosh. So I was doing everything on God's green earth to initiate labor. You know, the amount of comments, we were doing all these jingles, right? At the time, talking about she's breached, we flipped her, everything's good. Now she's not coming out. I'm impatient. Everyone's telling me 100 million things to do. And I did about 99% of them. I think the only ones I didn't do was castor oil, primrose oil, and one other thing. But I started getting frustrated. I'm like, don't not respond to these people saying, I already did it. This is your own frustration. It's not their fault. They're just trying to be helpful. So I ended up getting a second membrane sweep the day before my daughter was born. And at that time, I was 2 centimeters and 70% of face, or 2 or 3 centimeters, one of the two. And I was like, okay, if this doesn't work, my doctor's like, we're going to have to talk about induction. And I was like, I really don't want to get induced. I really want to feel natural labor happen, please.
And so, how many weeks were you, Blair?
I was 40 and 6 okay. At that point. So she was like, clock's a ticking. Like, induction's going to happen on Monday or Tuesday if this baby doesn't come out of you this weekend. And I was like, okay, sure. So I went home and I said, we're going on a power walk. I strutted my little pregnant self. I wasn't little at that point. I strutted my voluptuous pregnant self around the block. And I was feeling some cramping. I was like, okay, let's keep this party going. We ended up having a play date and we had a dance party. That was great. Things were cooking. I was like, we are feeling great over here. I am menstrual cramping. So after we put my son to bed, I started pumping just for shits and gigs at that point. Honestly, I was like, I'm sure this won't do anything. Well, it did. I started cramping consistently and I said, oh, this is a contraction. But you know, the rule 411, well, my contractions were 411 immediately for 2 hours. So I was like, there's no way. There's no way. So I called my doula. I was like, Diva, what do I do? I'm pacing my kitchen. I don't even know. Everyone's like, you need to bake cookies. You need to clean. I'm like, I don't know. Everything's done. I was just pacing my kitchen, like so excited. Things were finally happening. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can stay. I don't know if I can stay here. Should I go on a run? Like, what should I do? She was like, we should probably go to the hospital just to be careful. Looking back now, I should have tried going to bed because it was midnight and I'm just frolicking in my kitchen, you know, amped up on adrenaline, being like, the baby is coming. Mind you, we had had a scare a couple weeks before thinking I was in labor. And I ran up to tell my husband, like, hey, tonight might be the night. He jumps out of bed. He goes, get in the car. I was like, whoa, what? He's like, we got to go to the hospital. You think the baby's coming? I was like, you don't know how this works at all, do you? And that's my own fault. I didn't educate him that you don't immediately run to the hospital as soon as, like, you feel one contraction. So he was panicked. And I was like, you know what? Just go to bed before you annoy me, okay? Anyways, back to the story. I'm sorry, I'm already sidetracked. Okay, I tell my husband, I say, go to bed, sir. Nothing's going to happen tonight. I'm sure it will happen tomorrow, right? I'm technically a first-time mom cervix-wise because I haven't birthed before technically. So I pick up my doula. Steven stays at home with Kaleo when they're sleeping. We go to the hospital. They check me. I'm 2 centimeters still, 80% of face. I said,
wait, you drove yourself to the hospital and your doula, you drove your doula to the hospital?
My doula up. Yes, I did. And we drove to the hospital. In my eyes, unless I was mooing and dying, I could drive. It was safe. I was a safe driver. And looking back, it was not intense enough, and the contractions weren't getting more intense. So I probably should have known that it was probably going to, like, sputter out.
Taking a quick break from our episode to share this important stat with you. Did you know a 2025 retrospective cohort study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology found that doula care was associated with about a 15.6 increase in VBAC rates compared to those without doula support? Lily and I love doulas, and we are doulas. The VBAC Link was founded by doulas Julie Frankham and Megan Heaton, who created a comprehensive VBAC course for doulas. It's fully self-paced, completely virtual, and when you complete it, you're added to the VBAC Link doula directory. You'll also earn 8 ICEA continuing education hours and become a VBAC certified doula. And if you're a parent looking for a VBAC Link certified doula, you can find one at thevbaclink.com/findadoula.
So we get to the hospital. Yeah, nothing's changed. I said, oh, shit, I made a mistake. But the girl was like, we're admitting you. Like, you're in labor. I'm like, oh, but 2 centimeters? I'm going to be here forever. So it's at this point, like, 1 a.m. And we get into the room, the labor and delivery floor. And they're telling me kind of my options. Like, well, do you want us to, like, break your water now? Do you want to start Pitocin? I was like, no, don't do anything. Let's just see what tonight brings and then regroup in the morning when my doctor comes. So I power walked this unit, which was the tiniest hospital unit I've ever been on. It was literally an L. That's it. There was, like, 10 rooms. Me and my gospel playlist and a podcast and my hypnobirthing, power walked for hours. I couldn't sleep, which, again, looking back from the future, I should have tried to sleep because I was so tired the next day because I didn't. I think I slept for 2 hours. Silly, silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. So at this point, 8 a.m. comes. So I've been at the hospital for 7 hours. They check me again, 3 centimeters, 80%. I was like, oh, gosh. This is not going my way. They're going to start talking to me about Pitocin. And again, my goal was not necessarily, like, no interventions, but I wanted to be intervention free until it was medically necessary. And even, you know, I was still keeping an open mind, like, hey, this might not go my way. I might still end up on that OR table getting sliced and diced like a sweet pepper with a baby. And I had to be okay with that. But the goal still, the hope and prayer was still unmedicated VBAC. So my doctor comes in. She's like, why don't we just do the amnio hook? I said, okay, Diva, but I'm terrified. In my brain's eye, I'm picturing a fishing hook that she's going to, like, loop my membranes with. She pulled out the cutest crochet hook. Again, no one showed me what an amnio hook looked like. I never Googled it. That's my own fault. She pulls out. I was like, oh, that's it? Girl, do it. So she ended up breaking my waters at 8 a.m. And she's like, things should really start to amp up in about 2 hours. I was like, okay. Back to power walking. I ate my breakfast. Steven came. My mother had Kaleo at the house. I was like, we're not having Kaleo here while I'm in labor. He doesn't need to see me if I start moving like a cow. He's just going to be so confused and probably in distress, seeing me in distress. So back to power walking. Things don't happen fast at all. I think it was like 3 hours before I'm like, oh, this is what progression of labor feels like. So they ended up checking me again at, I have my notes here. I'm trying to stay on topic here. 1 p.m., 4 centimeters. I said, God, we are going to get Pitocin and there's no stopping this train, unfortunately. But the nurse and my doctor were really amazing because they weren't like pushing it on me. They were like, hey, let's just keep in mind, like if things really aren't moving after like 24 hours, let's talk about doing something. I was like, okay. So in my head, I'm getting stressed. I'm like, it's 1 p.m. 24 hours is going to start approaching like sooner rather than later. Well, I was having a hard time staying seated during contractions. So at that point too, I think I was starting to feel a bit fatigued. So the panic was like double fold because every contraction I'm like popping up out of my chair, like, we gotta move. I couldn't sit. The ball did nothing for me. That bed was not touched until the baby was basically out of my body. I was on the floor. I'm in the shower. I'm in the hallway, anywhere but sitting. And at some point, like your legs begin to like feel the weight of just like swaying in position and moving like a cow, which was amazing. I think the hypnobirthing stuff and seeing all of these innate sounds that women make, it felt so natural to do it, even though I learned like, oh, this is how you should do it. In the moment, you just do what feels right. And it was exactly that, which was so cool. I remember being like, oh, look at me, connected to my ancestors, mooing like a cow in labor. So that was really awesome. Around 4 p.m., they checked me again, and I was at 6. So things like, boom, 3 centimeters in 3 hours. And what really helped was the shower. Once I got into the water, everything progressed so fast. I don't know what it was. I did not take a bath. I didn't sit. The bathtub was very scary looking in the hospital. And I was like, I'm going to pass on that. I was like, too many things have happened in this tub. I'm not sure I can join that party. But the shower, 10 out of 10 recommend. My gosh, it really like took me out of my head. It's so easy to just like think about each contraction, even though it's so short. And I needed that additional stimulus to like just remove me. And I think at that point, that's kind of when I started hitting those like meditative states during some of the super hard contractions where I kind of just blacked out and I don't even really remember it. I remember like hands on the wall, spread eagle in the shower, like doing a jumping jack, just mooing. And my husband's like reading Bible verses and we have the worship playlist going on and I'm not hearing or seeing anything. I'm just like, here I am, God. I'm doing it. We're here. Things are happening. So 4 p.m. after being checked and seeing I was 6 centimeters, I was like, okay, we're going to make it without Pitocin. We're going to do it. I just need to get back in the shower. And at that point too, my doctor, Steven, the nurse and I, and my doula all had like made bets on when this baby was coming. And I remember being like 3:30 in the morning tomorrow. And my nurse was like, 7:30 p.m. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, you think the baby's coming in 3.5 hours? Why do you think that? And she's like rolling in the birth cart. I was like, why do you think that? Is that true? Like, should I be excited? What if you're right? And my doctor said 9:30. And I was like, holy shit, guys, that's like 5 hours away, possibly less. I'm thinking I have like 12 hours more of labor. So that also kind of like sparked me a little bit. I kept going. I was like, oh, maybe I'm just not following and feeling what's going on innately. So I go back in the shower and that's kind of when I start really losing my mind. And knowing the very minimal amount I knew, I was like, oh, this is transition. At some point, I felt like I had to throw up, poop my pants, pass out, and also like, I just want to die and be done. I'm like, I actually want pain meds. I can't do this. I've gone as far as I can go and we are going to do something. But it was really hard for me to just be like, let's get the epidural, because I had been praying and meditating and practicing for so long about not doing it that every time I was like, just do it. Like, no one's going to give you a gold medal for raw dogging it. It still felt like too much to be like, just give me the epidural. So I was like, what are my other options if I need like 30 minutes to take a poop and nap, you know? And I come out that shower of just panicked, freaking out, crying, sobbing, feeling like my butthole starting to rip open a little bit. I was like, give me the stay doll. I want the stay doll. And my doctor's there. My nurse is there. They like look at each other. And my nurse is like, I can't give her that medication. She's way too far. And I was like, what do you mean I'm too far? She's like, I think it's time to push. Like, we're going to have to check you before I give this medication. Because if I give you this medication, you're too far. It's like bad for my license. I was like, but I really want the medication. So I'm like crying, laying down. And the contractions are so intense at that point that it's like pretty painful to sit still at all, at any point, even when there's not a contraction happening. And she's checking me. I'm like, please, I just want the stay doll. She's like, it's time to push. I was like, all right, we're doing it. Okay, we're doing it completely raw dog. So that also, that gave me my last and final win, because I was ready to go up to Jesus Christ and be like, it's over. I'm done here. We're moving on. I don't care to have this baby anymore. Like, suck her back up into me. So all the Calvary then comes in, okay? We have nursing students, we got charge nurse, we got other nurse, because it's about to be shift change. It's like 7:30 on the dot. Mind you, again, my nurse had predicted 7:30. I was like, holy shit, you were right. Like, how did you know? She's like, I've been doing this a while. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I didn't even know. And I'm the one having the baby. So there's a million people in the room. And they're telling me to push. And at that point, again, like, you just, I had no idea what pushing felt like. And no one told me that it felt like you were just going to poop the baby out. It truly felt like there was no baby coming out of my vagina. It was only coming out of my butt. And that was not a sensation I was prepared for. And I did not like that sensation at all. Because I also, as many women have, the fear of pooping on your medical team. And even though I had taken multiple poops that day during labor, I was like, guys, I'm going to poop all over. I'm going to poop on this floor. I'm standing up. So I had them push the bed up to chest height. So I'm leaned over the bed, essentially bearing my weight on the bed, but I'm standing. And that's how I started. And I'm just swaying and pushing and doing this. I'm like, I'm going to poop. No one look at me. Like, the nursing student was a male. And I was like, you have to be on the other side of the room. Like, you do not need to see me poop. Okay. Like, I'll let you be in here. You can witness the baby coming out. You're not seeing me poop my pants. Okay. I didn't even have pants on at that point. You know, I'm essentially naked. So he's already getting the full shebang. So we're pushing. It feels like I'm pooping. Everyone's like, give us one more. Give us one more. At some point, I do remember telling them, like, stop telling me one more push because it's not working. And we've been going at this for a long time and I'm feeling a bit discouraged and frustrated. And I think I was like, I'm sorry to be so assertive. I'm in labor. I should have just screamed it. So I started standing. It didn't feel right. My legs were starting to give out. I was feeling really tired. So then I got on all fours. Well, in those pretty beautiful at-home birth movies, they're on like a plush carpet. You know, they have comfort under their knees. I'm on a cold linoleum floor. So at some point, tabletop position felt awful. My knees were hurting and I'm like just rocking. And I was like, this isn't going to work either. And I'm in so much pain that I don't want to move, but I have to move and get into a different position. So I was like, I don't know. I need to go somewhere else, but I don't know what to do. So kind of like Steven, my doula, and my nurse kind of just like all like gradually get me on the bed. And I was like, I don't want to give birth on my back. So I'm like on my side, leg up in the air, pushing for a while. And they didn't ask me for a mirror, or if they did, I was unsure if I really wanted to see my down there expand the way that she expanded to push a baby out. I was like, I don't know if I want that for my mental health right now. So they kept telling me, like, feel her head, so I could get a grasp. Because you're pushing and you feel the baby descending and you feel her getting sucked back up into you. And each contraction, you're getting frustrated. You're like, where am I actually at in this whole thing? And, you know, how do I push most efficiently to get this baby out. And I had no idea. That was also the thing I was most uneducated about. I think I needed more education on the best way to push, because I had seen mixed reviews and my nurse is like, no, you need to literally pretend like you're pooping, like hold your breath, but not, don't hold it for too long. I was like, wait, what? I'm not supposed to like relax? I'm supposed to hold it down? And that necessarily didn't feel like I was able to push mind-body connection to my vagina. So I think maybe in my hour and 40 minutes of pushing would have been a lot shorter had I felt more prepared on how do I yeet this baby out of me the best way possible. So there I am, spread eagle, legs up. I'm double cramping. Both legs are cramping. So I'm not having a great time. I was like, why is this happening? This is so me. Like, aren't I going through enough? But I was feeling contractions, pushing there, then having breaks, pushing during the in-between of contractions. And then I started feeling that reflex, the fetal ejection reflex. Oh my God, above. I remember asking my doctors, I was like, I need 5 minutes to regroup. Like, I'm done pushing. Let me just have a minute to relax my legs. Like, I want to put my legs down. I want to sit back and just breathe air for a couple minutes. And then that reflex kicked in and I was like, I can't stop. But that reflex was sick. That baby.
I tell everybody that it feels like throwing up, but like down there. Like when you can't stop puking in the middle of puking, like that's what it is. Wow. You know, it's just that like uncontrollable wild.
It was insane.
But so cool you got to experience.
I was like, oh my gosh, if I had the epidural, I would never even have known if my body was using that reflex, which was really cool to experience. But also, yeah, extremely like panicky, like what's happening? This is out of my control. Like the baby's doing this on its own. I'm not even part of this equation anymore. The baby's going to come out whether I push or not. So I think, again, if I do have another baby and I try to raw dog a third birth, a second birth, a third child, I think I want to lean more into that reflex and almost see, can that reflex do a lot more than me trying to like force the ejection myself? I have not studied enough about this.
Well, and it's hard because, well, PTs will say different things and you'll get conflicting advice about how to push, like breathing down, or there is like sometimes when there is the need to hold the breath. And so that can be confusing, but generally, yeah, like the breathing down technique that you were practicing, it sounds like, is good. And then like working with your body and the reflex, like.
Yeah, there's so
many. It's hard when you're hearing things in the moment, though, too.
Yes. And I remember also kind of feeling when I told everyone to like stop talking at me, I like looked up and I'm like literally surrounded. Like I am Taylor Swift on the main stage. Everyone's looking at me, talking to me, hands on me. I'm like, okay, there's too many people talking to me at once. I need like one voice and that's it. And my husband wasn't a part of this equation either, poor guy. Like he's, I think, to the side trying to like get film. I remember yelling at him like, you can turn the camera off. No one wants to see this. I'm sorry to you, Stephen. You were a great husband during labor. He was he was watching me and like, oh my God, I've never seen my wife in this sort of pain. And I'm like, you know, roaring like Katy Perry just over and over and over again. Luckily, I had my lashes done. Ladies, get your lashes done. Get fake eyelashes before you go into labor because you will look stunning even when you feel
like a hot. You and Paige are soulmates.
Yes, girl.
Paige and her lashes. She's obsessed with lashes.
Which I'm not even wearing right now. That's so funny. Well, but yeah, for my C-section, my last one, I totally wore my Flutter Habit.
As you should. And I would still have them on if I had like 2 hours to leave the house from the newborn. As soon as the newborn does not need me every 5 minutes, I'm getting those lashes back put on so I can look gorgeous every single day. But that really helped my ego in the moment, looking back at those videos and being like, damn, you look pretty darn hot to be in like excruciating 10 out of 10 pain. So yeah, I started, guys, I'm sorry I got sidetracked again. Where are we? She's crowning. I keep feeling her head. She keeps like staying there. So she's at this point, like not going back in between contractions. She's crowning. And that felt like it lasted forever. But as I kept feeling her, I felt like I was better able to tune into, okay, we need to get this baby out. And then the Ring of Fire happened. And that was also kind of a fun moment of like, oh, that's what that is. And then I was like, oh, it's so hot. Like, there is so much fire. But it was so short-lived. I actually think when I imagine the worst pain of everything, I think it was right before pushing. Because at least with pushing, you're feeling relief as the baby's descending and finally, like, getting out of you, even though your butthole feels like it's ripping in half. But then the Ring of Fire, you're like, I've made it to the finish line. I have to take, like, one step and she's out. So that gave me that last, like, oh, we got it, bitch. We got it. She's coming out of me. And she came out, like, very quickly after that because that Ring of Fire told me, like, I did it, mama. We're here. So transition was definitely the hardest part for me. I think feeling so out of control, feeling so unprepared, and feeling so many sensations and not knowing what to do with those sensations made me feel cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in that moment. But again, it's like the pain with the purpose thing really just fuels you in that moment. You're like, every time I found out, like, we have progressed, I'm like, okay, it's worth it. It's worth it. Just keep going. We're getting there. That baby came out of me. I did not even shed a single tear. I was in such shock. I was just like, oh my God, here she is. Steven's like weeping. I'm like, I just did that. My eyeballs are like the size of saucers. You would have thought I was very high on something the way my eyeballs were protruding out of my face. But then I knew what happened next and I was very afraid of what happened next. My legs were like shaking and my body's in like so much shock. I was like, guys, you can just leave us alone. Like, you don't have to worry about the placenta. You don't need to look down there to see if I tore. Like, you guys can just come back later. And they're like, no, we have to do it right now. I was like, no, I'm good. I just want to, like, enjoy this moment. They were like, just give us two good coughs. And I remember needing to cough because I was in, like, a weird slumped position by the end of it. And I couldn't cough. And it hurt so bad to cough. I was like, I don't think I can cough for you guys. They're like, give us one good cough and the placenta will come out and you're going to feel a lot better. It's like, okay, they were right. But then they said they had to look down under. And I was like, please don't look under the hood. If I tore, like, I don't really care. It's none of my business. We don't need to stitch it. Because when I was in nursing school, I was able to see an unmedicated vaginal delivery as well. And that woman was silent until they started stitching her. And then she was screaming bloody murder. I said, I don't. I already did this thing. Like, don't worry about it. If I have a gaping hole down there, just leave it. So I'm like, knees buckled together and they're like trying to like, hey, just okay, let's just take a gentle look, and finally allowed them to. And they were like, wait, I don't think you need any stitches. And I was like, thank you God, I'm so afraid. So they like gently cleaned me and that felt like knives on my vagina, but then it was great. I just had to get over that really bad hump of fear of possibly having stitches on my genitals. So to all the women that have torn, you are the real warriors here. My VBAC is nothing. If I had torn, I do not feel like I would feel so happy after my VBAC. That's just me being brutally honest. But comparing postpartum from a C-section to a vaginal birth is absolutely insane, the difference. With my C-section, I wore the abdominal binder, and I remember like getting up in the middle of the night crunching and just being in excruciating pain, like feeling like knives were in my incision. And I was like, no, I'll never be able to use my core again. And with a vaginal birth, you don't have that problem. It's just the weird feeling of that depletedness in your pelvic floor, which was really peculiar, even with it healing. Feeling like aches in my pelvic floor was like, oh, I didn't have this with my C-section at all. Like my pelvic floor, she was good. She was unfazed. She was unbothered. And this time she was very tired. So the difference in how I felt mentally, physically, I felt much stronger with my vaginal birth. But then when I exerted myself, I said, oh, go back to bed, diva. No, you're doing too much. My C-section, I didn't have those like signals to myself. So I easily overexerted myself with my C-section. And because I just felt fine. The the pelvic floor really like cued me into being like, turn around, sit down, plop on a couch and do not move. So I really appreciated that aspect of the vaginal delivery as well. But recovery was half the time, if not even shorter. I felt phenomenal bodily wise. So all in all, how do I rate a vaginal birth? How do I rate my VBAC? Worst pain of my life. Also, like, biggest accomplishment I probably could ever attest to. Like, an 8 out of 10? I don't know. Will probably.
I mean, you're not real for that.
Was that concise enough?
No. I have to say, though, as a girly that had a almost third degree tear, like, we had to call an OB in because my midwife was like, I'm not sure if I can stitch you. Let me just check. I felt so good that I, 3 days later, tore my stitches open again because I was reenacting my birth story because I felt so great. So tears and all, I would still say, like, that recovery is so significantly different. And yeah, I just felt like I could run a marathon. And my midwife was like, hey, so remember when I had told you not to do that? And I was like, yeah, well, just a little bit. I'm sorry. I did it. You told me not to squat. I did.
You did it.
Oops.
Uh-huh. And I
so, you know, I think like, so to everyone listening who's scared of tearing, truly, I think that like there is that piece of it that certainly not for everyone, it's not a one size fits all, right? But at least in my own experience, even my tear was like, I'll take this any day, baby.
How bad was the itching? Was there itching?
Oh, the itching was so bad. And I do tell my clients about that. It feels like you have a really bad yeast infection is how I described it. In fact, I was like, that's what I thought it was. I was like, no way. I just gave birth and also have a yeast infection right now. But what helps a lot is those sitz baths that they tell you about. Because I think that was like, that was primo.
Yeah. I'm afraid of the itch. I did. Someone had asked me if I tore, and then I had a close friend be like, so like, did you look at your vagina afterwards? I said, girl, what? But I did work up the courage 1 week postpartum. I took a look. I was like, I don't know. I'm either going to cry or it's going to be way better than I expected. And she looked stunning. I was like, diva, look at you. Recovery queen.
Look what she did. Her vaginas,
they're amazing. The other thing I didn't note is I did poop. Ugh, so rude. And they tried to lie to me. I said, I know I just pooped. I know you just wiped my poop. They were like, no, we didn't. I said, don't lie to me. They're like, no, we didn't.
You're like, I don't have an epidural. I can feel that.
I said, I know I shat. Unfortunately, I did. And I think it was a cute little pebble. So all in all, a cute shat, but still a shat nonetheless. Rats. So that's like one point right there that it would have been a 9 out of 10 had I not shat. But
fair.
It was honestly the best situation it could have gone. I know that it can go so many ways, especially like doing all the prep, the mental prep, the body prep, the pelvic floor PT, you know, all of the working out, all of the hypnobirthing stuff to really get my mind in place. And I still knew that it could not go my way. And at the end of the day, if I get a healthy baby and I come out not traumatized and I come out bodily intact, like, it's a win. But getting everything the way I wanted it to go is like a dream and a prayer answered. And I just hope every woman who wants an unmedicated VBAC gets it exactly how I got it, because wow, less than 24 hours as like a woman who's never labored before. That's a dream.
Totally. Blair, a question that we get from our like audience often is like all of the noise that we hear about birth, right? So like there's so much online and like the loud minority of really traumatic, awful, terrible stories. And what about uterine rupture and all of those things? And you were literally sharing your life like moment by moment, week by week. How did you cope with like the comments that you can get and like the information overload that can come at you when you're online in that way?
Yeah, it's so easy to feel as though you're doing something wrong, or, oh, well, if you do this, like, it will go your way. And I remember reading these comments, the same ones, like, do it the same way you made the baby. And I'm like, you don't think I'm doing my super fine, sexy, handsome husband as much as possible with these hormones? Baby, there's a reason we're so happy in our videos. There's a reason I'm pregnant. Anyways, that's not the point. Feeling like a little bit like, oh, why is it not happening for me when I'm doing all these things? I'm taking all the recommendations. Why is it not happening? I had to truly surrender to just like my body and my baby. And once I did that, everything felt quiet because at the end of the day, you're in control, but only to a very small degree. And learning that control is not a factor in when that baby comes makes everything so much easier. And I think had I probably relinquished control and actually relaxed instead of trying to do everything in the book to get this baby out, my daughter probably would have made an entrance earlier. Most likely, because I wanted to be in control so bad. It's part of my job being an ICU nurse. Like, I need to be in control of every factor. And I realized that that seeps into every facet of my life. And wanting to control, like with my first birth, like I was so out of control once I found out I was having placenta previa. There's nothing I can do there. If I want to go into natural labor, the odds of me and my son dying are super high. Why would I want that? I had to relinquish control. And yeah, I think the more you can just mute the noise and tune inside and just listen to like what feels right in your gut, that's probably what you need to do, is listen to your gut and relax. Sit down, mama. Just sit down. Enjoy the moment, because once that baby comes, there is no relaxing. So relax now. Control later.
We're going to put that on a t-shirt. Relax now. Control later.
Yes. Control them when they're children and you have factors you can control. Like, do not put them on an ATV, mama. Please don't come and see me at the ICU, okay? Don't put them on the ATV, mama. That's when you should control. Relax now that the baby has not came out, okay?
There you go. Or it's a great lesson for motherhood too, that it's like, these even kids are just going to be who they are.
And yes, that is also the lesson I've learned with my children. I can't believe I have children. That is a plural word. Oh my gosh. Haven't set that in yet. Yeah, learning to control. We're mere fertilizer for our kids, right? The seeds have already been planted. They will be who they be, and we are here to help them grow and flourish in whatever seed capacity that they are planted as, right? So whether they're a tomato plant or an eggplant or a cauliflower, well, I'm here to nourish the soil and make sure you get there. Even though I maybe wanted you to be a pineapple, you know? Weird example. Get the gist.
Love it. No, I it's so it. Good.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I feel like your story went through so many hardcore details too, just like girl talk, where our listeners will be able to live through your birth. So I'm glad that you didn't skip any details, that you shared like the good, the bad, all of it, and where you were really at, because sometimes birth can also be this like fantasized thing of, and sugarcoated. So the fact that it's like, yeah, VBAC is hard. Cesareans are hard. Birth is hard. Like, there are just hard moments, and but you can get through it. You can do it. And so yeah. I appreciate that. And I think a lot of our listeners going through labor for the first time will really benefit from you walking through the details of early labor and then how it like evolved. So good yeah. job.
I can't believe I accidentally like vlogged my birth. That's also, if listeners, if you don't know who I am, you should look on my Instagram. I have a really crazy video of the details of my birth.
Yes, let's tell everybody where to find you, because if you haven't, look through all of her stuff. She's got all of her VBAC documented, her pregnancy, everything.
It's the best.
Totally. I live a very unfiltered life online. You can find me at 6.Lair, aka Blair. If you look up Blair Eliezer, you'll find me. 6.Lair is the name. The 6 instead of a B. Hopefully that makes sense. It's hard to say. I get my username.
Well, it's in the show notes, don't worry. We'll link it. Also, one thing I did want to say, when you were pregnant, you did, what was it called, like a service shower or something? I thought that was so great.
Oh, a nesting party. Yes.
A nesting party. Yes.
It's not my idea. I take no credit. The internet showed me a nesting party, but it was amazing. So what I did was, I was very scared to ask for help, and I forced myself to text all of my friends and be like, hey, I'm not doing a baby shower. It's baby number two, but can you come over on this day? We will feed you. We will give you alcohol, whatever you want, and you can just help us do tasks around the house. And every single one of my friends was like, this is sounds like the best party ever. And we had like 25 people come over to our house. We did very little baby-centered things. We painted the trim of the windows. We cleaned out my garage. We broke down boxes. I don't even want to show you how many boxes I had in my little attic space. It was very embarrassing. But it was amazing, and it left me feeling like so ready to take on second child. Everything felt done. Everything was done, and all my friends helped me. And I was able to just relax. I highly recommend it. Don't even do a baby shower. Just have nesting parties. Even for birthdays.
Yes, because what does that do for your mental load? And then it helps you feel loved. So like not only does it help you physically that way, but then it just like helps you hormonally feel loved. Yeah. I love that so much.
Wants to come and help you. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily know how to help. And so being told like, here's a task. Go find a buddy and do it. And they're like, so like, okay, great. All you need to do is tell me what to do and I'm happy to do it. And so I think a lot of my friends got a lot out of it too, feeling like they were supporting us with this endeavor of another child, especially being one of the first in our friend groups to have kids. A lot of people are like, I don't know what you need. I know you need things, but what do you need?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I love the idea of like, we do have to tell people what we need sometimes, you know? The age old, like, well, just let me know if you need anything.
You're like, I don't even know.
Okay, probably, I'm probably not gonna let you know that I need anything.
Yeah. Be assertive.
So I love that you were assertive. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. I'm gonna come over and do your laundry and force you to snap is actually what I need, despite saying I don't need that. I do need that. Yes.
Amazing. Oh, Blair, well, thank you so much. We are just so lucky to have had you. And the next, I have family in Michigan, so next time I'm there, I'm a hit you up, girl.
Love to show you my favorite places to get a snack, to get a meal.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.